Hi Razor community, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Razor Sharp Show, where we all hang out to stay sharp. We are your hosts, Ray Milodoni and Matt Romania. Matt, can you share why our podcast exists?
Our podcast exists to educate, inspire, and motivate you to help you reach your goals and make a positive impact in the world.
That's right. And we just love making our podcast every week and want to thank you, our listeners, for all the ongoing support you have shown. If this is your first time listening, well, welcome to the Razor community.
So if you want to move the needle forward and get closer to your goals, stick around as you're going to enjoy this.
Inspiration, motivation, and education. Welcome to the Razor Sharp Show, Deep Dive Edition. Stay tuned as we invite action takers onto the show to share their experience and insights on topics critical to your business success. And now, here's your host, Matt Romania.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for another deep dive edition of the Razor Sharp Show. I'm your host, Matt Romania, and joining me today is the co-founder of Outsourcing Angel and a guy who certainly knows what it takes to grow a successful business. His business achievements include things like taking a company to seven figures, I should say, spending over $3 million on online advertising, and six product launches hitting six figures. Charlie Valla, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. What an intro. It sounds nice when someone else says it. I didn't enjoy writing it though. It's always hard to write about yourself a little bit.
Oh, it's an ongoing struggle and I feel your pain, but I couldn't, you know, not intro those three amazing achievements and, you know, to give our listeners insight into that, the real deal, and actually know what you're doing. So I think it's an important first step.
Oh, excellent. I agree.
Yeah. And so today we're talking about outsourcing, and let's start with the basics before we get into some of the detail. Like, Charlie, to you, what does the word outsourcing mean? And can you give us some examples of the sort of things that business owners are outsourcing?
I guess it comes down to like the big difference between, or the way I view outsourcing, I should say, because it's all the way I view it, is that outsourcing is simply taking things off your plate and putting them on someone else's plate. So whenever we've got tasks or personal things that we're doing that aren't the best value of our time, outsourcing them is getting someone else to kind of fill that need. So I'll give you a really good example here. Let's say you're someone, a business owner, that checks your email every day, which you shouldn't be. If you check your email, waste of time. That's something that can actually be outsourced. So you might be spending hours of that a day when someone else could be doing that for you. And then that would free up your time to focus on more, I guess, high value or high paying tasks in your business or life.
Mm. So why do you think, I get this impression from some business owners that they might be a bit resistant to outsourcing parts of their business and want to kind of do like everything and hold on to a lot of control. Why do you think there is that resistance, and what's your advice to overcoming it?
This is probably one of the more common things we see about belief that we have to be the ones that do things in our business. So a really common one, again, is email. I'll use that as the example again, is like we feel we're the only ones that can do that in a certain way. Or to get the result we would. So we feel nervous about letting it go. Mm. So one of the things I kind of said is when I started this company with Lynn is that I had to be the one that would push the boundaries and actually see what was possible. And that's how I would expand my mind. So in the beginning, when we started outsourcing things, it was really simple stuff, you know, like, you know, data entry. And then we kind of built up towards doing bigger and bigger things and seeing how far we could push it. So I'll give you another example. It's like the next step from there was like, okay, so that's done. Now I would like to never look at my inbox again. This is an example everyone can understand. Mm-hmm. So we started thinking about, you know, what are the steps and ways we can go about having a VA do that? And then we tried it. And then once we started trying these types of things, we obviously start sharing that information and developing systems to help other people achieve it as well. So the reason I think a lot of people, and what we're getting back to of your question there of like why we don't outsource more things, is one, we don't believe other people can do things as good as us. Mm. Two, we see everyone else doing those things and feel we have to do them, when truth is like there are no rules. You can create anything you want. And then I guess the last part there is then not having the right resources or knowledge around you to hand off those things to be done for you.
Mm. And I do want to come back to that knowledge and resources side of things, and you know how someone actually does get started. But I also just wanted to get your view at the start of this episode of how have you seen the outsourcing landscape or culture, I guess, evolve over the last few years?
another great question there is, like, it's actually been something I think about a lot, because when I first got into this business, it's like VAs and outsourcing and sending tasks to be done wasn't as well known as it is today. Like, in the circles I hang in, it's quite common knowledge to use virtual assistants and offsite labor and things like that to achieve a better economical and better result many times as well. Where a lot of the time in the beginning, I used to spend much of my time convincing someone this was a good option, where now it seems like they're coming to me going, well, look, I want to hire a VA to do this, or this is something we'd like to do. So it becomes more about less about the VA doing it or offshore people doing it, and more about, like, how far can we push it? And, like, that's the trend in conversation we go from. So I think a few things have happened as well where, you know, world internet speeds have got better. Not in Australia, I might add, but in the world, definitely. It's actually funny. My VA has a better internet connection than I do, and we often laugh about this. But it's like, with those type of things becoming, you know, more accessible to people in other countries, and that being more lucrative of a career to them, we see a big amount of opportunity for people to be doing this type of work. It's becoming common knowledge, and it's just becoming the way we do things. So that's the big transitions I've seen. The other is that the tools that are available now online are just crazy. Like, I look at some of the software we, you know, get to take for granted, just go, wow, we can just access this a lot of times for free. And what that's done is added a layer of productivity to the VAs. So I'll give you another example again, is like something like ClickFunnels, for instance, which is a software to create landing pages. 2 years ago, or before ClickFunnels was around, I should say, like, that was very much a web development job, you know, required a high level of skill and all those things, where a software solution has made it where, like, you know, a trained VA can make landing pages now. So we're seeing the output that these guys create have and value go through the roof, which is a really exciting thing.
Yeah, and I do like your point back there about when you first got started, it was more, I guess, explaining to clients the why you should outsource, and now it's very much it's the how and what to do. And I found that as well when I started a small, like, social media consultancy business a few years ago. And back then it was very much trying to convince people, here are the digital platforms you need to be on and this is why. And over the last few years, it's very much changed to be along the similar lines of what you're saying, is actually the how of it. So, and I think both those things, yeah, like you said, it goes to show the rapid changes in technology and tools available to make it a lot easier. And so, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a thing that I'm seeing as well with a lot of other aspects of marketing. People are really about the how now and looking to take on different ways to improve their business to be a little bit more productive. Obviously, here in Australia, we've had a bit of, negative media around outsourcing as well. So I just wanted to get your kind of views and insights, wherever you want to take it, into, you know, why should a business owner consider outsourcing to another country, and why is it not necessarily a bad thing as well?
Oh, there's many deep layers there. We'll have to go into them one by one, because yeah, sure. I think there's so many things. Okay, so the first thing is, the number one reason an outsource relationship fails, from what I see, is not having the system set up so a VA can do well in a business. Mm-hmm. So it's hiring from the wrong intent. It's hiring someone to be a clone. It's going, look, we want someone to do this, but then they have no idea how to do it, or they have no KPIs or no system or any way of being accountable to that result. And maybe their follow-through is really poor. So a VA might do something and it's not what they wanted, and then that's the point they give up, instead of going, okay, well, where did I go wrong in my instruction? Or how could we do this again to be better? And I'm sure you could say the same thing about social media. Some people try it. Oh my God, it didn't work. We'll just give up at this point, and then badmouth social media. The other point I'll make there is that, like, the skill level is rising rapidly. So it's like, when we go back to years ago, a lot of people probably do have a bad impression of what it's like to send things offshore, because, you know, the work that came back wasn't as good and the training wasn't as good. I think, again, the shift has been where there's so much good talent and specialists out there now that the training fold and access to information is phenomenal. So that's the point I would say there that's kind of shifted a lot. What was the second part of the question there?
I guess, what's the rebuttal to all this negative media saying we shouldn't be sending work overseas? And, you know, they're developing countries and people are saying, you know, we're taking advantage of them. Just to play devil's advocate here, Charlie, and, you know, because I'm really interested.
I hear this all the time.
See, I thought you would. So I really want to get your insight and your answer to that business owner who's, you know, still unsure, because, you know, outsourcing's been tainted with that brush by the media.
Okay, so this is a couple of things that we've got to look at. Now, my honest view is that outsourcing overseas, we're in the gold rush of it now. Like, there is no better time to start outsourcing overseas than right now because of all the points we spoke about yesterday with, you know, internet speeds and training and everything like that. So that's really important to think about. Again, I'm not for one to say don't hire locally. Like, if you've got a really good person who's talented and you can pay them less than the value they add to your business, that's fantastic. That's your goal. But on the other side of that, when we look at how businesses work these days and everything like that, going offshore can be your competitive advantage. So if you've got two businesses that do the same thing, consulting there as an example here, is going there. If one has just local staff and one has a mix of local and offshore staff, the cost efficiency of that business for one is, you know, far greater. So this is your way of being competitive in markets you may not have been able to be competitive in. And this is one of the ways we see a lot of small businesses compete with such big titans and corporates who do have this high cost to do these type of things. So that's the way we've got to think about it. With that does come, and this is where a lot of it, again, is like it's very different working with someone who's remote to being in your office. You can't go next to them and point to things. So you need to kind of adapt the way you work. And I think that's a little bit of a fall down as well. So what I'll say there is like there's some really good tools out there these days to ensure that you can, you know, keep people accountable and then get information across the world really, really easily. So accountable, we see the, you know, the rise in development of project management tools like Podio, Trello, Asana, Teamwork. There's all these really great tools to keep knowledge in a place so nothing gets lost. And then we see great screenshot tools like Snagit or screen recording things like ScreenFlow or even what we're on now with Skype, where it's amazing how easy it is to have more, you know, free-flowing conversations and get things done in a much more accountable way. So I would think if someone's got, you know, a bad reflection of what it's like to outsource, it's that they haven't had the right things to do it well and achieve the success with it. Something that kind of, you know, strikes me a little bit odd as well is when we look at this, and I'm not going to be the one to, you know, look at this from here or there, but if you hire someone locally, it's a really big responsibility when it comes to like HR and contracts and all those things. We are now accountable for like sick pay, holiday pay. It's quite hard to actually, if someone's not right for your business, let them go. So give you a really good example here. A friend of mine had a company and he completely changed what he was doing. Now, for the sake of this, let's say he went from being a plumbing business to an electrical business, a completely different set of skills. So he needed to lose some staff that had that skill and hire some new people who had the skills he needed for his business. But when he spoke to someone and consulted with them about how to do that, he actually had to retrain those people. So that was a huge expense with working with, you know, HR and things like that in Australia. Well, when we work in overseas and outsource things, it's much more flexible. So you can hire a specific team for a need and see how it goes, and you're not locked into things like you might be with hiring locally. And again, I don't want to bash hiring locally. Like we do hire local as well. We do think there's phenomenal people you can do and things you can do with people locally. There's just an advantage to be gained in like arbitrage, cost efficiency, and then talent as well, which comes into it.
And obviously that mix is important. So it's not necessarily one or the other. It's finding the right mix for your business. And like you said earlier about the value, like weighing that up, what you're getting in and what you're sending out. So I really like that. And I guess we should now start talking a little bit about getting started and, you know, how does someone actually get started in outsourcing? If I want to outsource something, where do I start? And actually to backtrack a little bit from that, how do I even know what I should be outsourcing?
Yeah, great question. Like that's a really solid one. This is something a lot of people struggle with because if we're not aware we can outsource something, then it's never going to happen. So I'm going to look at something that was really, really like when I first got started from this, this was the most beneficial thing I did personally. And like I credit this to how far I've been able to push the things I've outsourced in my life so far. So there's a great tool called Rescue Time, which you install it on your browser, I believe, or your computer, and it will actually track what you're doing on your computer throughout the day. So what's really interesting is like I had a perception that I was spending a lot of time on Facebook and social media when in reality I was spending a lot of time on my email. So I was spending 3 to 4 hours a day on email and about an hour and a half on social media when it added up. Now, when I looked at like I was like, oh, I really want to outsource my social media, the actual better value for me was to get email off my plate because I could see hands down this is where I was actually spending my time and I could find a way to get that off my plate. So step one is to look at what you're actually doing and record it ideally with something like Rescue Time and then just use that info, which it will spit out a report for you and go, right, this is what I need to get rid of. The second thing to do is look at your business of what you're currently paying people to do. So I'll give you a really good example here. If you, let's say, you know, you're in social media and you're paying a contractor in Australia, you know, $60 an hour to do some design work, and you're doing that consistently, you might be able to get that down to $10 an hour by using a solution like ours at Outsourcing Angel. Mm-hmm. So there's those two main methods are there. The third one is you might just already know some things you want to kind of go into or have seen other people do. So if you know someone's working with a VA, like a really good way to go is say, well, what are you getting off your plate? Tell me what's been effective from you. And I think that's a really good method because I always like to kind of follow people that are doing things well. I think that's how we kind of shortcut in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I totally agree. And for the busy business owners, I do quotations and I know you can actually see them. What does that look like, that whole research and working out what I should outsource? Like, do you think you need to set up a spreadsheet, or is it as simple as just getting pen and paper? Like, the actual doing of that, I guess, auditing of your time, do you go from rescue time and then build your brief from that? I guess what I'm asking is, what's stage two? What's step two?
Okay, so step two from there is, like, if you're serious about getting things off your plate, you've got to invest time in getting that off. Mm. Like, it's a bit cliche that we need to spend time to get more time, but it's exactly like money. Like, we have to spend money to make money in a lot of investments. So we've got to kind of weigh that up. And I think that's a real big mindset thing in the beginning. So rescue time will kind of spit that report out and you go, right, here's my things. But I do often kind of recommend that people either speak to a company like mine at Outsourcing Angel, where we can go through your business mm-hmm. and make recommendations based on our experience. That can be really beneficial because I think we ask a lot of the questions you wouldn't ask yourself or not honest with yourself. Or we've got a lot of perspective because we've seen so many businesses go through these things. So we can often say, well, look, you know, businesses that are similar to yours are doing these things.
Mm. Yeah, and it's powerful to have that advice as well. So yeah, you're not starting with a blank canvas. You've got something to work with. In terms of the early stages of outsourcing, I guess we should start talking about writing that brief and putting something together and building that a relationship with a VA. Are there some key, I guess, steps to do that, to move from, okay, I know what I need to outsource. Here's what I need to outsource. I've spent the time putting together a list and maybe there's two main things with one priority. How do I turn that into words for someone to understand to, you know, start actioning?
Yeah, great question. So this is something I spend a lot of time on, a lot of thinking around, because I think this is the most important step. From here. So you've got an idea of what you want to get off your plate. Fantastic. Like, this is, you've got your list. It's like, how do I transition that into actually being something that's off my plate?
Yeah,
that's and building right. that relationship with someone like a VA. So what I kind of look at from there is you've got to ask yourself another question of going, like, do I have any systems or procedures or training, or do we have anything where someone can look at the way we're currently doing and then model that off? So in the example of social media, for instance, if we do social media in a certain way and we can show that as a system, could a VA use that for training? And that becomes a big part of what they do in taking it off. This is the single biggest area where people start to make a mistake. They skip that step. They hire a VA. They find someone they like and they go, hey, can you do my social media? Mm. And then put nothing in place around how can we make this a success? So this might be with showing them how the social media should be done. This will come through having a system or tools they need so they can do it really well. And this also means spending some time checking the work and talking with your VA to get some improvement. Now, it's no different than hiring someone locally. Like, you do want to invest the time in training them well, or having someone on your team train them well, or even better, have some recordings of yourself or a team member doing the work that a VA can use as training to have that as a responsibility for them.
Mm. I love that tip of recording it, so you don't even have to worry about writing it out and you're not going to forget steps because you're actually doing it, and, you know, you can send them a copy of that video and work through that with them. And when you're starting that relationship with a VA, I guess the recruitment aspect of it, how do you set expectations, and what sort of expectations do we need to be thinking about at this beginning stage with someone, you know, new that we're bringing into our business?
Yeah, good question. So whenever we do something from there, and again, like, if you're going to record yourself doing a task and you're going to, you know, do a screen recording so they can see how you do it and everything like that, what I love to do, and I think this is really valuable, is get the VA to do it once as a practice, okay, give them a chance to get a feel, and then allow maybe 20% more time than you originally did the task because you're obviously trained up,
yeah.
And then that'll gradually start bringing itself down. So that's a perfectly reasonable expectation that someone's got time to learn something, they have it from there. But you mentioned something really good as well, and this comes to the recruitment side. So what's fantastic about that there's so many people in the world using VAs is we might be able to find someone that has that skill you already are looking for. So it's not like you're picking up someone that's never done something before and you're taking them through that education piece. You're just, you know, tweaking them to the way you do it. So ideally what would be awesome is, you know, in this example again, is having someone that used to do social media for someone else. They're already familiar with all the platforms and have ideas and of how things work, where the buttons are, how to do many of the things you are from there. It's just aligning them with the way you do it.
And yeah, I really like there about when you're giving them that first task to do and then allowing 20% extra time for them to do it. I guess some people might get that back and go, oh, well, they're taking longer than I did to do it. So, well, like, what's the point? I won't even bother outsourcing. But yeah, I think it's important to remember that even though you might not think that you're trained up, you need to have that level of patience in the beginning, because even though they do have experience in, you know, example, social media or whatever you're outsourcing them to do, they do, as you said, Charlie, need to adjust to your way of doing things and the, you know, your particular requirements. So allowing that extra time and patience and being okay with that in the early stages sounds like a really important step to make sure that you, you know, you give them enough time for them to, I guess, impress you and start to build that working relationship. So, yeah, super glad you made that point.
I'll just add one more thing in there, though, because, like, I don't want to paint the picture that it's really hard in the beginning, because it's not. It's more of a patience thing and accepting that some things are going to take a little bit longer in the beginning. But let's fast forward, though. Here's the thing. It's like if you hire someone to do social media in your business example, and that's all they do, how good do you think they're going to get at it in 3 months? The answer is really good, better than you.
Well, yeah.
So exactly. What's interesting is, like, there's an overlap point of view where it's like you know, we're upset and like, oh, there might be a little bit slow in the beginning, to the point where I've had my VA for, oh, it's coming up to my current VA, Juvia, I've had her for about 3 years, and I would say she's better at most things than me. So it's like, oh, you know, like you get the payoff down the road. This is where you've got to start thinking about, you know, am I willing to invest in people in my business, which inevitably we all have to. Like, business is a team sport. We can't do it alone. Like, this is where we look at it from there. The other thing to look at, okay, and like, you know, some people get a little bit precious about time and how long things are taking.
Yeah.
I get a little bit precious about ROI. That's my main focus.
Love it.
Like, if I'm sitting there managing someone's time, that means I'm not managing my own time very well, or micromanaging and probably not being a very good boss. So what I like to think about is output focused. So when I'm working with a VA, let's pretend we sell social media for $100. Idea being it should be more than that, but we'll use round numbers. But if it only costs me $40 for a VA to do it and I sell it for $100, regardless of, you know, when we look at the time expansion, that's great ROI. They don't need to be quicker. Yes, they will get quicker and that's fantastic. We'll gain more from there. But my business is still, you know, reaping the rewards of hiring this person in the process. So I look at those wins and go, well, you know, cost to finish efficiency and ROI is the important thing to track, not so much, you know, how strict we can get with someone's time.
So we've spoken about time. Let's talk, you know, a bit about money. What kind of budget do we need to have to start outsourcing a task and start engaging a VA? Or is there like a rule or, you know, something that we can go in with confidence to make sure that we're not going to be spending too much and really just, or to make sure that we've actually got enough to dedicate towards a VA to have that longer term focus?
Yeah, so that's a great question as well. I'll kind of dive into that into two things. So if you're a business that's got something which is a specific thing your business does every week, okay, so let's say you have a podcast and you have a process once you've recorded your podcast that's got to be edited and uploaded, and that's being done every week. Look, that's probably not the best use of your time. That's someone that you can hire in and have that consistently taken care of. So that's like out-tasking. That's a specific task that we're just having taken care of every week.
Yeah.
And if that's an hour, if that's 2 hours, it's still an hour or 2 hours that you're not doing it. And that's really good. But then we move into the other side of outsourcing, which is the VA, the virtual assistant, which in my opinion is the holy grail. Because this person becomes, you know, effectively, you know, partially like you. They begin to do a whole range of things for you. So that's more of a relationship type thing where this person is your assistant. They can project manage things for you. They can take care of whole areas of your life. Now, I would say at minimum, you want to have 20 hours a week for a VA. when you look at that from the breakdown, it's about $250 a week to have a part-time VA in your business, which when you look at those numbers, like, you go, wow, that's really efficient over hiring someone more locally, and allows you to kind of invest in their growth. And of course, you can always increase those hours over time. So that kind of breaks up two different things there. But hopefully that gives you a bit of an overview of the different types of way you can look at it.
Oh, definitely. And that, you know, once you get going, that gives you 20 hours back in a week. That's pretty incredible. I'm sure if you went to anyone and said, hey, do you want an extra 20 hours in your week, especially these, you know, short weeks as we've had a few public holidays and that kind of thing, so everyone would say, yeah, I would love an extra 20 hours.
So I'll give you one that's here that's really important. I just want to, you know, shape what this would be like for you. Like, as a business owner, we all have things that are going on that need follow through. So we might have an idea for something that becomes hard to follow through with our schedule. You know, we can be very busy people. And I've seen it firsthand how busy, like, I come to people, some people come to me and I'm like, wow, do you get any of that done in a week? Like, that is so much work. Like, you must be battered.
Yeah.
Like, you must have no social life. It's, you know, not uncommon. But imagine this. So, okay, this is just one of my ideas that I encourage people to think about. So imagine you get to your desk at 9 a.m. and the first thing you do every day at 9 a.m. is you have a one-on-one meeting with your VA. And she's already read all your emails and she's looked at all your updates in your projects. And in that time, she's able to brain dump everything you need to know about for that day in that meeting. Not only that, you're able to verbally say, well, can you please reply to this in this nature? Can you please set up this for Bob? Bob needs to do this task, whoever Bob is. And can you please check on this for me? Also, I'm thinking about taking a holiday later in the year. Can you research these flights and find me some really good hotels? Now, that one half hour or 20 minute, you know, moving of information allows your VA to go around and update, you know, reply to all your emails, update any projects or check on any projects that you need to know about, and then take care of any research tasks or book in any meetings you need in a day. And, like, it's the most phenomenal use of your time you can possibly imagine, because all of a sudden while you're off doing other things, all that stuff that you would have to have done is now being taken care of for you.
And that's, it seems to be the ideal state. And I do want to talk about kind of managing that day-to-day relationship with a VA a little bit. And I wouldn't mind getting your personal insights and the way you go about doing things for the benefit of Razor community. And, you know, how should someone go about integrating, I guess, the management of their outsourced tasks into their, you know, like I said, day-to-day routines? Like, you've mentioned Asana and Trello and a few other tools. I'm interested to know, like, what do you use for management of this work and how do you go about it? And, you know, what does, you know, a week of that look like, I suppose?
Yeah. So I guess the first thing is, like, you've got to have daily communication in the beginning. You know, I'm much more down the road with my VA, and my VA now manages other VAs. So it's a bit of a different relationship.
Sure.
But in the beginning, especially, like, I think a daily conversation, ideally by voice or video, is recommended, because that's going to help build your bond with the VA. That's going to, you know, give you accountability to each other and making sure that, you know, everything's going smoothly. Just text, sometimes I find things can get a bit misrepresented, where voice really kind of conquers a lot of those things. My personal preference, like, I'm a Podio man. Like, I love Podio. I think it's a phenomenal software. I was very lucky to get introduced to it. I just got trained on that and not anything else, but I really enjoy that. And that's a way we kind of manage our projects. So that's a really big thing to mention as well, is that do not manage your projects in email or Skype chat or anything like that. That is the single easiest way for things to get lost. And it's also a way to make sure you're not ticking things off. So if your VA can tick things off and you can visually see that, that helps you be reassured that you're getting progress out of the things you need to be getting progress out of.
And do you kind of expect to see, like, a weekly or monthly report of tasks that are being completed, or how do you go about, and I suppose, how do you go about monitoring the results of the VA's work, and you know, for balance, someone just getting started, how should they monitor the results and the work?
Yeah, so this is something we come across as well, like, really great questions, like, flashing back to all the things I used to do. It's like, wow, it's exciting. Cool. So I come up with the daily report, which was really simple, which was like, what did you get done today? What did you not get done today? Why did you not get it done? Is there anything you need? And like, it was simply those four sentences, and it was, like, really easy to review, and we'd literally talk about it in the next day's meeting. In most cases, you know, we could come across that if something didn't get done, it was because I gave poor instruction, which is very common. But we work through those things, obviously, and become better at communicating with each other. Like one of the things that's important is like, you know, communication is everything with a team.
Sure.
And if you can go in there with going, how can I improve my communication with my VA? Like the rewards are so good. On the back of that, like if something didn't get done, you might find that, you know, oh, we need to include more information about this or making sure things get done from there. Now, if a day, and like this is inevitable to happen for a lot of people, sometimes you're going to look at something and go, how is this a day's work?
Yeah.
First thing to do is go, well, was there enough training or anything in place for this to be done or anything stopping it? Or talk to your VA. Like they're not robots, they're people. Like we all have bad days from here and there. And it's like sometimes you've got to just write a bad one off for the other good ones for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And then we can get a little bit interesting when it comes to this of going, well, you know, we do forget they are people. But on the other side of that, anytime a mistake's happened with my VA, like she's more than made up for it, or she's expressed, you know, this is where it went wrong, this is what I've learned from it, and this is what we're going to do to make sure this never happens again. And then she's, you know, come back tenfold from that experience.
It's not like they're only hearing from you when you want something and they're only seeing job after job and don't have that personal touch. So I really like that, you know, it's, you know, a business owner outsourcing, it's your responsibility to also ask them what they need and, you know, get feedback from them to make sure, yeah, you build that relationship. And do you have any other kind of tips or, I mean, you've already dropped some really good ones like using video instead of text, but any other tips or things Razor community should think about to build that real win-win relationship?
Yeah, definitely. So I'll give you something else is like, we've obviously at our company, this is what we do. So we have a lot of VAs and like something we're always thinking about is like, how can we improve our culture and like the relationships? Because that is everything. So a few little things to think about is like, we, you know, celebrate public holidays and have events and things going on in the company. So I'll give you an example is like we do footy tipping. Now, what's really interesting is like a lot of people, especially our VAs, may have never seen a game of AFL footy or anything like that, which makes the tipping competition rather interesting and hilarious. So my VA actually won the footy tipping last year in our company, and she conducted a whole method over which animal she thought would win in a fight.
Oh, wow. So, love it.
And it just goes to show that the system's completely flawed. She can win it. Like I was actually trying and I got one. But having things like that and, you know, as you mentioned, communication outside of just work that builds the relationship and community, creates trust in an environment people want to work in. So just like in an office, you probably take for granted the little banters and things you have going.
That's right.
Where you might have to make more of that effort online. But again, it's easily doable. And if invested well, like you reap more reward and ROI than, you know, can be done in other situations.
Love that. And Charlie, before we do come to a close of this episode, I do want to also ask you if you've got any, I guess, key resources for someone just starting out. And obviously, I also want to ask you about Outsourcing Angel. But when I've just first, you know, I've just outsourced something and I'm really, the world is still new to me. Are there any kind of resources or sites or anything you can think of that would be really helpful in those early stages?
Yeah, absolutely. So this was a huge challenge. So what we found, and I'm sorry to backdate this into a little bit of a story, but when we first started this company, it was like we thought that everyone was just going to hire VAs and do what we did, which was a big mistake. Like obviously, you know, everyone's different and we really struggled. Like people would hire and then not get the same results and go, what's going on? But obviously they didn't have the same experience as us. So we've recently gone, well, look, education has to be a really big part of what we do, helping people understand how they can get most of it, get them thinking about, you know, if they are going to add a service to their business or do something in their business, how to set it up so a VA can do it instead of them or an offshore person can do it instead of them, and really switch that thinking. So what we did is we've opened up a free Facebook group called Like a Boss. BOS for Business Owner Society is the actual name, but Like a Boss is the name we go for from there. And the idea is that you can start asking those questions and speak to a community of people that are doing it. And there's nothing to buy in there. You can just come and, you know, have a look and, you know, ask these questions or get advice or see what other people are getting up to. And then if you do decide you want to move on or work with that, we are in there to answer your questions as well and help you get the most out of services like that.
And I'll put a link to in the show notes to that Facebook group as well. And I'll also put a link to Outsourcing Angel. And for those who haven't heard of Outsourcing Angel before, just before we wrap up, would you mind just giving a bit of an overview about, I guess people can kind of infer and guess what you do, but a little bit about what you do and where they should head to learn more about you and to get involved?
Yeah, so it's outsourcingangel.com. We sell pizza. No, I'm just kidding.
Love it. Yes.
So if you're looking for pizza, this is the place. No, of course not. Obviously, we, you know, based on this interview, we provide, you know, offshore solutions. So if you're looking for a virtual assistant or an executive assistant, or you might want to hire a developer or a graphic designer for your business, then that's the place to come and contact us. We also do a bit of ad hoc stuff, which means if you need a designer for a couple of hours or you need a developer for a 10-hour project, we also provide services around there.
Wonderful. Well, Charlie Vella, thanks for your time today.
No worries at all, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Until next time, stay sharp.